filming the show.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the morning show starring me, Andy Cortez. That's Nick Scarpino. Kevin is out there in the back doing his thingy thing. You know what I'm saying. Come click by.
That was it, huh? You didn't really have, when you went into that nosedive, you didn't really have a plan to land it, did you?
Yeah.
You just kind of went, you're just going toward the ground.
There wasn't a really good escape plan. There was no fire exit,
no.
You know?
Yeah. I understand. Sorry. How are you feeling today, big cat?
Everyone's
getting a little sick.
I feel weird as hell, dude. Yo, you too, Kev?
No, but I see other people getting a little sick.
Yeah.
Tim, yesterday I had like a 4 or 5 medicines. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm fighting it off.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The battle's lost already. He doesn't know it, though.
Tim was, we went to lunch yesterday, and then he was like, what should I get? I need to get some cough drops. And I was like, well, you should get some Zicam, maybe some Dayquil also, because you're definitely getting sick. But he was like, I can't afford to be sick. I was like, well, I don't think your body knows.
Cares.
That. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't care. So you need to get some sleep. You need to relax. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Obviously, we got to film a lot of stuff for the showcase this weekend.
Yeah, you
so
do.
So that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I just had a weird night, Nick. I went to bed like at 1:30 in the morning, and I woke up at 5 in the morning, super hungry, head kind of hurt, and it was horrible because I knew, all right, I'm gonna be up for the next hour and a half, 2 hours. Just because you eat and you kind of, you know, you get a little burst or whatever. But my stomach is hurting so much, Kevin. So I ate some Goldfish crackers, got some cheese in me.
Naturally.
It's a snack that doesn't sit back.
The thing about the cheese is that a lot of people don't understand. The cure for the common cold is cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to get it in a baked, delicious, salty, crunchy format.
Uh-huh. And, but even better when thrown in your mouth by a really good friend.
Well, because you get the salt from that person's hands. It on the thing as well, and it goes into your mouth.
There's some perspiration.
So you know how like sometimes when the bacteria in your colon is all messed up.
Of course,
they'll put poop in you from other people.
Yeah.
To get that other bacteria.
Flush it out,
and it makes you
and
totally
you know
better.
What he's talking about?
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. It's really gross.
Sometimes, like if you do really hardcore antibiotics, it'll just nuke all the bacteria in your stomach, and then you start having problems because you need it there. So they just turn you upside down, cake batter. It's like they put it in there, twirl it around, you know, twirl, squeeze, and then just they put like one of those star tips on the top of it, so that when they pipe it onto
course,
their cake, it looks like that star.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Wow.
It's really fun.
What a start to the morning.
Wouldn't that be cool? I wonder how they do that, though. Do you think they flip you over and just angle you a little bit?
No, man, that's not how they do it.
Ew, the sound effects. Kevin, can you look it up for us?
No,
we won't put it up.
Absolutely not.
Kevin, okay. I'd like to look at one video of somebody getting poop put into their butt for once.
For once.
This is the Kind of Funny Morning Show, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, it is kind of funny. And yes, it is the morning. And it's brought to you by MeUndies, Quip, and Robin Hood. We're going to talk about those a little bit later. But before we do, I want to take a second to remind you, if you have Amazon Prime and you want to support this show, if what I just said to you made you giggle, if I brought a little bit of happiness to your morning or afternoon, think about linking your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. Because you get one free Twitch subscription, which we'd like to go to us. It's very, very nice. It's free for you, and it gives us $5. It keeps the lights on. It's fantastic. Of course, if you want to subscribe in other ways, if you're like, I want a more permanent solution to this dilemma, I don't want to think about this, I just want to subscribe and forget, well, you can subscribe to us at your hard-earned with your hard-earned $5. And what does that get you? Well, it gets you emotes, private chat time with us, giveaways. We play games with y'all. It's going to be great. Spoilers, when we start playing Smash Brothers in about 10 days,
We're never going
to stop playing that game. So if you guys want to be potentially entered into playing with us, you want a shot at the champ?
You got to beat the champ.
You want to be the champ? You got to beat the champ.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's, you got to beat. A lot of people are going to beat you.
No one's going to take me down.
You're crazy.
There's no one in our community. I've looked high and far.
Nobody, Nick.
I almost beat Hungry Eyes. But I was on a pro controller.
Hungry Bucks.
And he was. So that was the problem.
Right.
If I had a GameCube controller, I would have fucking eaten his hungry lunch. Pro controller.
Oh.
But he's just better at the game than me. Yeah.
So, okay.
The thing is, I would have beat him, but he's just far and away a better Smash Bros.
Sure, player than me. Yeah, you would have beaten him if he wasn't so good and
at
so much better than you.
Yeah.
But
that's
sure.
the, I mean, what I mean. You see what I'm saying?
For sure.
So it's an unfair advantage.
Catch-22.
It's an unfair advantage is that I feel like he should have been handicapped and come to my level. Are you still posting this Instagram story?
No, how long
is this gonna take?
Well, you know, you gotta put the swipe. Can I get the one?
You got the swipe up?
No. It's the Kind of Funny.
You're on the vids account.
Yeah, vids account.
I was like,
you can put the gift there. It's a swipe up, and it looks really cool.
Where does it go?
To
does it go to poop?
No.
Oh. I mean, it'd be cool maybe, if you do another one and like go to a colonoscopy. Just, we're going through some with lower intestines. Oh my God, Jesus.
All right, it's posted. So right. Check that out, guys. Instagram.com/kindoffunnyvids.
Let's go into some housekeeping real quick before we get into a lot of news. Today, top on housekeeping, we have some new shirts, not the least of which is the one that Andy is currently wearing right now. And let me tell you, this shirt caused all sort of a ruckus. It is tripping people the fuck out. I have seen people in the comments that are like, I thought there was a glitch in the video. No. Some people were like, it's making me sick to look at it. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I love this shirt. I think it's dope.
Earlier, I thought that was a wrinkle in my shirt, Kevin.
You did.
I thought there was a wrinkle.
He kept trying to, like, straighten it out. I was like, what are you doing?
Well, because also I took a lot of acid before the show.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you didn't tell me. I was going to shroom out. I was going to dice up shrooms and sprinkle them on a piece of pizza and eat it before the show and just see where I went. Wouldn't that be fun if we had that kind of content where we could just do hardcore drugs and let people watch us experience that?
I'd be so scared to do that, dude.
I'm never going to do it.
Okay, so check it out. So when I was back home, I saw a commercial on the Vice Network,
Vice Network.
Is it a channel?
Mm-hmm. It's a channel. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They have their own network.
That's where they showed Nirvana the Band the Show, Kevin.
Oh God. What's it called?
They the Vice World. Content. Vice World.
Vice Land or Vice World? I think.
Vice Land. So I'm watching. I forgot what I was.
I was watching
Boogie Nights. And they cut to a commercial.
I'm gonna be a star. Kevin, give me the one. I'm gonna be a star. I'm gonna be a bright shining star.
Big old wiener.
Dick out.
Yeah, 13 inches uncut.
Thank you.
On Viceland, they showed a commercial for one of their TV shows where they experiment with ayahuasca. And they sort of open people's minds to ayahuasca.
Yeah,
and
dog.
One of the guy who's sort of Sherpaing you through this situation says, do not try to escape. The number one thing we hear is, please make it stop. It will not stop. You have to let it keep going. And that sounds so scary to me.
Yeah, it's very scary.
It's terrifying, Kevin. But those people, they're like, look, years of therapy have not done what ayahuasca has done for me.
No, it's...
I feel like people say that all the time.
Right, Kevin, right.
You know what I mean?
What I feel like it does to you is I feel like it, like, cleans your brain.
Like a colonoscopy?
Yeah, exactly. No, a colonoscopy really just looks up there. They don't actually clean anything out.
You're thinking of when
they stick the water up there and spray it out. Like
right,
I saw
on
that HBO show, Gigolos. Is that what it's called?
Gigolos.
Remember that show? It was about a bunch of male hookers in Las Vegas.
I don't think
One of them had a palm. He had a palm. Like a Pomeranian.
Oh, Pomeranian.
Yeah. You never saw that show?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about.
This show.
Let's look it up.
Oh my God. Look it up while I talk. I watched like 5 episodes of this show, and then it was one of those rare instances where I'm like, oh shit, I don't have HBO anymore, so I can't watch it. I think it might have been Showtime.
Showtime. Showtime.
And it's a show about
a group
of guys who are legitimately like male escorts in Vegas. Now I don't know if they're real or not, but I think it's a reality show.
Enema.
Oh, okay.
Enema, thank you.
No worries.
Enema of the state.
One of the guys, one of the guys takes the other guy to get an enema, and they show it. So it's like they go to this like, it's like a nail salon, but instead of nails, you sit back and they pipe a thing up your butt and just spray water in there and then all of it comes out. And one of the guys is like, I love doing this every month because it cleans me out. The other guy's like, I'll try it. And midway through, he's like, I don't like this. I don't ever want this to happen again. This is an invasion of every part of my being.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is they go and they bang.
Did you look it up?
Did we talk about this shirt now?
Oh yeah, we have another shirt, the kind of funny side print shirt, which is really, really cool, using a nice, fun, cool, new Hypertechnic logo designed by one Andy Cortez. I love it. I love this K and the F together. It's very futuristic looking. It's cool, like that too.
Yeah.
You knocked this out of the park.
Thank you, man, thank you. Yeah, the kind of funny on the sleeve will also be something that gets used.
I love it.
But yeah, I really like all the color styles. I had a lot of input from my boy Tony, who's one of the lead graphic designers at RT. And he was like, what if you put, because originally we had the logo on the other sleeve. And Joey was like, put it on the other sleeve.
Good idea. Yeah, there you go.
Because I was like, Joey, I like the idea of it being weighted. And then I put it on the other side. I was like, Joey, you're right. Tony, you're right.
What I like about this is, you know, I'm a huge esports fan. This looks like it's like an esports.
Like
shirt.
It's our team.
Like like the kind of funny rascals. Would that be a cool name for our team?
No.
Squirrels.
Rascals
Raccoons.
Is pretty good.
Rascals
dude.
Is dope.
Hey, you gotta turn it down right away. It's not good.
Rascals sounds cool.
Rascals
man.
Are dope. Like because we don't win, but we always make it. Ooh,
what about the kind of funny cuckoochies?
Cuckoochies.
Yeah, we could do that one.
Yeah. Every time I say it, I'm like, it's just...
I'm adding more syllables to it.
Yeah, but there's also just a countdown when we record the content to when it goes live and people go, please stop doing
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they go, and it's here's how the cycle goes. I'll say something like, oh, it's okay, moo moo. And then people go, that's terrible, stop saying that. And then I'll start seeing it in the comments. Whatever, moo moo. You know, oh God, it's so fun being us.
Speaking of party mode.
I am a monster and I need to be stopped. And I'm telling you guys right now, this is the point of the movie where I realize that I'm causing untold havoc and that I need people to stop me. I'm like, you know what I'm like, Sacha Baron Cohen from Talladega Nights? I just want someone to beat me so I can stop winning all the time. Because the burden of winning and being a champion is starting to break me. But also, if you try to fucking take this belt from me, I'll fucking punch you square in the nose.
God, I can't wait until Andrea's the champ.
Right.
You know?
I can't wait till anyone other than me is the champ. Because to be honest right now, I'm not doing much with the belt. It's just sitting back there.
You should wear it every day.
It's so heavy.
Wherever you go.
If someone made me like a more streamlined version of it that I could actually wear as a belt, I would do
that. Don't we have a digital version? You can just print it out.
No, I want like a 3D printed.
It's not
so
like
I can wear it as a
PlayStation
belt
where they make a slim version or something. Like you
It'd
just
be cool if they did
you
that.
Just wear the belt.
Is there a belt pro?
God damn it.
Where it's like it's bigger.
No, you want the smaller
plays
one.
Plays it in 4K.
You don't want
bigger. Well, now I want the bigger one, Kevin, because he said there might be a bigger one.
Hey, speaking of party mode.
What's up with this?
Important to point out that I won the mini game at the end.
You don't want me to?
No, yeah, just play.
Which is weird because Andy technically was the last man standing.
And makes zero sense.
But it was about who's the better man.
No, it makes no sense.
The game is an excellent judge of character and moral fabric.
Fucking bullshit. So, anyway, keep playing. Let's keep this shit going.
Ring a ding ding, Andy. Ring a ding ding, Andy.
Answer it, Andy.
Ring a ding ding, Andy.
Hello.
Hey, do you think maybe the game's listening, and when you threatened to beat up Miyamoto, it was like, well, we can't let him win. I've lost connection. Call waiting.
Hey, Greg. He's going to go away.
Yeah, man, he's going to lose.
He's the worst.
I can't believe that you and I are just killing it with this
We're
game.
We're crashing
game.
That's We're killing it in life. We're killing the game, as they say.
I agree.
All right.
Anyways, get checked out.
Yeah, what?
So everybody
what do I have to get checked out for?
Everybody go watch Party Mode. The second episode, the final episode of Greg Miller being on the Super Mario Party episode is now live. It's a stunning, stunning finale.
Shut up,
we play turns 6 through 10.
I'll be honest with you right now.
What's up?
Mario Party can suck it.
Why do you have a problem with it? Why do you have a problem
because
with it?
Because whatever the fuck
it just
wants.
It doesn't fucking adhere to any rules.
Yeah.
Okay? It's dumb.
Maybe you should just learn how to dominate then.
I fucking won the first one. Remember when Joey sucked so bad? I was like embarrassed. Oh, what's up, Joey? What's up, Mr. Sheasel?
You are insufferable.
I know. Oh, man.
You're horrible, dude. This is a good show so far.
I'm having a great time.
Kevin, you're doing great, man.
Before we move on to news, of course, other housekeeping news. The showcase is 1 week from Saturday. If you guys don't know what the showcase is, we have 60 games to show you. We couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific time here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You're not going to want to miss this thing live. You're going to want to be in the chat. Having said that, if you have anything better to do on Saturday, we will, of course, be posting it to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's going to be good. Greg Miller, do you have something to say, or are you just going to root through some garbage over there?
Just root through some garbage.
Can I ask you a question
before? Greg, why do you get so distracted when a virile young man like me
comes
in here?
Holy shit.
Can I run something?
Okay. It's not even on camera.
Milk the udder. Can I run something by you real quick?
Sure can, bud.
Now, we have this new side print shirt.
Yeah.
Which I think is a low-key, like we're just introducing the fact that we may or may not start an esports team.
Sure.
Now, how do you feel?
Somebody hit me up asking, well, you know, that might be embargoed. I shouldn't say that.
Okay, cool. How do we feel about, if we start an esports team, calling them the Kind of Funny Rascals?
Why not, like, play with the letters more?
That's right? What I was thinking. So I said Kind of Funny, Gucci Cheese.
Do you hate rascals?
No. You want something starting with a K.
Yeah, but what if we took a C word and used the K? And what if we took
kangaroos?
The C word?
Kind of Funny Kangaroos?
Like cunts.
The C next Tuesdays?
Yeah, fucking cunts.
Yeah, if you say it with the British accent, you're allowed to say it.
Yeah,
remember, I used it a lot in
marketing
London.
Marketing-wise.
To say it in London.
Yeah. What's the other big team? The Fuel?
I say we do something totally
the
original.
The Fuel versus the cunts? I don't think that's going to work.
Kind of Funny Muggle Fuckers.
No, we're gonna get sued by fucking J.K. Harry Potter. Rowling.
Yeah,
she owns words, dude.
Yeah, she does.
She does.
Was the word she invented.
She invented the word.
She owns ideas. Is that's the word public use.
The time that we finally use Pigeon Patrol.
Scumbags.
Oh my God, Pigeon Patrol.
Kind of funny. Pigeon Patrol.
Kind of funny.
Esports.
Kind of funny. Mouth pudding. I like mouth pudding still.
Scumbags is pretty good. Yeah,
thank
yeah.
Thank you. We want to be the rough and tumble.
Like, where, like, I need just somewhere where Cheeto Fingers and Flapjack and Nitro Rifle and Tim can just shine. And shine. Where will that be?
According to somebody...
I still want to call him White Boy Tim. I just want you guys to know.
White Boy Tim! He's so white.
He hates it. But his fucking calves are so white that they actually do the... Like, they, like, suck in all the light. That's how white they are. Like, you can't see them versus anything else because it just...
I still see them in so my bright. Eyes.
They are the light source?
Yeah. When I
You know
when
what
I
they look like? They're like episode, you know when you go to pick white in Photoshop? And you're like, it's a little too bright, so you pick like a little bit below it, and it's like a putty white.
He's the one above it.
He's the one above it. He's the bright white.
Yeah.
Joe, did you come in here for a reason? Or did you want
to
just hang out with us?
I came here to defend my honor, because then you're going to start talking shit about Mario Party.
What are you talking about? No way.
No, you did good that game.
No way.
You got the shit.
You did, Joe, you did great that game.
No,
it's just that the three other players we were playing did
so much
way
better.
Just, I think only two just of them. So far I think better. Only two of them were like screwing you over.
Repeatedly.
There's a time in the episode where Nick clearly should have taken coins from me, and he goes, "I'm gonna go Joey instead."
Yep.
And even I was like, "Why? That makes no sense." Yep. Like,
did I win?
No. Or we'll see.
No. Well, the episode with her already went live.
Oh.
Yeah, I fucking crushed that one. I got first place. Remember, I did a dance twice.
No, it was a different episode.
They're talking about a different episode.
Different round.
It was the last time I took. Yeah, because it's funny. That's why. let me be clear with you. I'm here to entertain.
Sure.
You guys are all out there fucking talking about, oh, we got, here's the new DLC for fucking Red Dead.
I was wondering where he was going
to
go with this.
Guys, I'm trying to get on my horse for Red Dead. How hard is it to get on your horse in Red Dead? Well, let me tell you, it's really hard to get on my horse in Red Dead. Who cares about that?
There was a glitch yesterday.
I do.
Craig couldn't get on his horse.
I do. I'm out there for the people. I am the people's champion. I give the people what they want. It's in my goddamn Instagram headline. And am I verified? No. Do I care? I really do.
You do care.
I'm really starting to care.
We wouldn't know because we both unfollowed you on Instagram.
You did not unfollow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Touche.
Can't say much about that.
Wow. Greg's not. Am I verified yet?
No, Greg is not.
Greg is not. For sure not. Interesting.
How do we feel about this? His Red Dead character here. Can we go back to his thing?
I was gonna post that today.
What is this? Why is he doing the
hand
big ups to Jesus thing?
They just do that for whatever.
The hands thing remind me of Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights. Second Talladega Nights reference of the day. I don't know what to do with my hands. That's what the hands remind me of.
Or what, he always thought he was on fire?
And no, he's just like in the interview like.
This looks like, first off, doesn't look like Greg.
No.
We have all decided this. Second off, looks
Didn't
a lot.
Did you make this?
We tried, but their character creator in that game is not good.
You specifically made it, though.
No, I give up.
Did they have bifocals back then?
Yes, they
did. He needs glasses, and it needs to not look like the sheriff from Stranger Things. That's what
Andy,
I want it to not look like.
Do you know who invented bifocals?
Mr. Bifocal?
George Washington.
No,
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin. I should have known that from Big Daddy.
The Office?
Stoned
oh.
Big Daddy. As hell when he did it.
Really?
You don't
no,
know.
That part was
a lot. Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah, no, I thought you'd like it, though.
Man, you're they making did, history fun, Kev. You're making history fun.
They did use a lot of cannabis back then. They had, like, they used to use hemp for everything. And then we just started to have a war against hemp because cotton is better, apparently.
The bifocal eyeglasses. Oh, my God.
Like
I hate this,
like
Kevin.
That?
Kevin, I hate this. I've never hated anything more, Kevin.
It's very difficult to make your character
Jesus,
look like
you look diseased.
I can't.
You look like a burn victim.
And your character looks worse. All right, come here, dude.
That was really good.
You got me, dude.
I was trying to figure out a sick burn for that, but I couldn't. My sick burn was that his character just looks like he's a burn.
For whatever reason, you can't just have nice skin.
Well, it was the Wild West, man. People were exposure. They were exposed to the elements.
But I think I did the best I could.
It looks horrible. I hate looking at it.
I still think the eyes should be a little further apart, but that's just a problem.
Get it off the screen. You look like Edgar putting the human body over the cockroach and Men in Black.
He's like an Egger suit. He's like wearing an Egger suit.
A pet cat. That's what he does.
Amazing world to me.
Yeah.
Sugar. In water.
God.
More.
Anyway.
Vincent D'Onofrio is awesome. Did you watch the last season of Daredevil?
No, I need
it's
to.
Actually really good.
I started episode one. That's about as far as I go.
You're going to like it.
It's going to watch it on the plane.
It still suffers from the obligatory, let's put three episodes in here that we don't need. But it's there.
I've heard it's way less worse than the other seasons.
Way less worse. Yeah, yeah. Actually, there's only one episode of note that I'm like, I couldn't give a fuck about this story.
Okay.
But it ends up building into the other story. So I was like, okay, we needed that.
We're being really negative about the Daredevil season two. I feel like half of that season was the Punisher and was pretty cool.
It was
awesome.
Then the other, they were like, well, the other half was, hey, let's introduce. This is what I've realized the format of these obviously is. In this one, it's the same thing, right? The first half is Daredevil, the second half is Bullseye. And you're like, but it's cool, it's organic because they play into each other. The season two, you're like, oh my god, the Punisher's cool. And then he just ends, and then they bring in ninjas. And you're like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing, you know what I've learned is that with these Netflix shows, is that the action needs to be utilized very sparingly. Because after the third or fourth time you see him like just beating the shit out of people, you're like, this is fucking boring. Like, I don't need to see this anymore. Give me the character dynamics. Also, it's just not believable.
Every punch always
at a certain
like the
point
final
that he's
punch.
Not. He's getting the shit beat out of him every fucking day. And he's like, one, he can't walk the day before. And then the next day, he's like, I'm just going to get it. I'm fine. I just gutted through it.
Pro Athlete 405 says, Kevin's character looks like Deadpool with long hair. Which I think is pretty spot on.
That's fair. quick tip reminder, everyone. If you want to tip us at the $5 above level, we will read those tips with our very own mouths. Let's log in right now and see if there are any tips. My guess, no.
Two.
Damn it, I was wrong. Sean, Sean of New Age says, Andy, what happened with that intro love party mode? Really hope there's a Smash 1 for the next week with some sweet, sweet pit action from the one true champ.
No, we don't have the game yet, so.
Well, he says when it comes out, there's one. There's gonna be one.
Yeah,
we're
going to
do a lot
out.
Of Smash Let's
Plays. It won't
plays.
Be out for a while.
DJ Kento says, Smash Bros. 1 versus 100 fun clip. Here's hoping new Smash is this fun. Let's see it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen.
Kind of fucked up.
I've seen this before.
I don't give a shit. Fuck hits.
Yes!
What is wrong with this guy? Although, this would be fun. Just to feel dominant for once in your life. Just to feel like you're in control of things. I hope one of the kids gets hit and just bounces out of this fucking. What room are they in? What is this?
Show me your moves.
That's fine.
The first time I saw that video, the I believe the caption was, when you're a seasoned Counter-Strike pro and you hop into a Fortnite lobby on Switch for the first time or something like that.
Yeah, you just fuck people up. Just Big Bucket, give us 500 cheers and just some emotes, which is nice. Just cheering
Thanks.
Us.
Thanks.
Which is great.
Appreciate
All right.
it.
Few news stories I want to talk about with you fine people out there. Not the first of which is, what happened to all these
I'm
news?
I'm going to do the news graphic.
Can you do the news graphic?
No, apparently not.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do from now on.
I know.
We're not doing the graphics anymore. We're just done with the graphics. The graphics have not worked.
They had their place in time.
In 2 months, they're done. Until I say otherwise.
I'm going to look into fixing that laptop. I don't know what's wrong with it. It can be fixed, though.
Top on news comes from Variety. And this was a very special story to me because it really caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story reads, Black Panther scribe Joe Robert Cole to write the Call of Duty movie sequel.
Mm-hmm. Which?
So he's writing the sequel to the Call of Duty movie.
To the famous, very infamous, some would say.
Some people loved
one.
It.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
people hate it. My favorite part of the Call of Duty movie.
Most people have never seen it.
A lot of people didn't get out to theaters to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mainly because, spoilers, this movie hasn't even been made yet.
Got it.
Has not been made yet.
Got it.
Activision Blizzard Studios, this is the story reads, is already getting the gears turning on a sequel to Call of Duty, tapping Black Panther scribe Joe Robert, why don't they just call him writer, scribe, Jesus Christ. Joe Robert Cole to pen the upcoming second installment. The studio hired Sicario 2 director Stefano Solima earlier this year, who's great, by the way, to helm the first film, which is an adaptation of the popular video game and came out 2 weeks ago. No, it didn't come out yet. And even though a cast hasn't been assembled and the studio wants a sequel to the script ready to go as soon as the first pick goes into production next year. Activision Blizzard Studios president Stacy Scheer and Nick Van Dyke are producing, along with Activision Blizzard chief executive Bobby Kotick. Coco Francini is also producing. Neither film currently has a distributor. So we're putting the cart before the horse a little bit in this one. Or we're counting all of our chickens before they've hatched. Or we've got a bird in the hand. I don't know, whatever.
We're drinking the milk before we have the milk.
We're drinking the milk before the chocolate's in.
Yeah. Famous saying.
We bought the cereal before the milk.
Here's my problem with any sort of movie that is trying to be Call of Duty themed. It's a military
super
movie.
Dumb and generic.
Yeah. Like the thing I hate.
Unless it's the isn't Call of Duty also Modern Warfare? So aren't those like current like future fights?
Oh no, they can do whatever they want with Call of Duty. They could be any, it could be now, it could be future.
But
it could
the
be
thing
whatever.
Is, like, I don't think that they have what iconic they, enough characters to really warrant.
They got Jon Snow. They got that one dude that ended up being real touchy.
I'd say those even aren't very, very good. I'd say the ones that people remember the most, the stories that people remember the most, is like maybe the Modern Warfare 4 or Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare story, you know?
Yeah, but for the last 10 years, Modern Warfare is just about being playing online. The stories are just like afterthoughts. I remember Modern Warfare came out. I was like, oh, I want to play the single player campaign of this. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, not only that, but they were like, well, here's what we're going to do for the first time ever. You're going to jump around from person to person. I was like, cool. Thus ensuring I'll have absolutely no connection. What's that? No, it was Modern Warfare.
Oh, okay.
You played when Modern Warfare came out, you played as like, you started off as like an American, and then you went to a Scottish guy, and then you went to something else, and then you came back. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Battlefield 1.
Yeah. It's fun.
I'm pretty sure it was Modern Warfare. I've never played Battlefield player. I played the single player campaign.
Because they had like vignettes in Battlefield 1.
Had those in Modern Warfare. Sure they had in Modern Warfare too. Because I remember specifically it started off on a ship and you had to play that. And then you went to another character that was like a ranger and you were in like Iraq. And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Like, we know Master Chief. We know Super Mario.
Some of the deaths, like, it was two people in Call of Duty 4, Nick.
Fair point. Either way. I mean, who the hell knows? The story was so... okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. The story was so compelling in that I really remember what those two players were. Right?
Obviously,
exactly.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was so good. No, but I'm saying, like, again, they can make a good movie out of anything. Lord knows I was very trepidatious to watch what I assume now is the seminal film, Daddy's Home 2. Didn't know they could do a great sequel to that movie.
Do it justice, right?
Didn't think they could.
The
but ladies and gentlemen, watched it over the break. And I dare I say, this movie may be better than the first Daddy's Home.
What?
Wow.
We have expanded the cast.
You don't have to do much.
We've expanded the cast. They brought John Lithgow's character in. They brought Riggs from Lethal Weapon in. What's his name? Mel Gibson. They're the two dads. It's great. The character dynamics in this are fantastic. We catch up with Mark Wahlberg.
Are we doing
Wahlberg.
An in-review right now?
We are. We catch up with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. They're friends now, and they're co-parenting. But obviously, there's still some tension there, but we don't really see it. It's under the skin. Mel Gibson's character comes in as this bad dad, and John Lithgow's character comes in as a good dad, but then we feel like maybe everything there is not as expected. And they really utilize the characters perfectly, where Mel Gibson's character comes in to kind of disrupt everything, but in doing so, points out some of the flaws that then they need to work on to strengthen their relationship. These are the two digital characters, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. I will say this, and all kidding aside, and then of course, John Lithgow's character comes in as the perfect dad, but that's not exactly the case, because spoilers, put up the spoiler graphic, bro. His relationship with Will Ferrell's mother, not great. They're getting a divorce. And so everything's kind of turned on its side. I will say this. I have given Mark Wahlberg a lot of shit.
50% of people get divorced.
I've given Mark Wahlberg a lot of shit over the years for not being able to act at all.
Right.
He's actually phenomenal in this.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those things where I'm like, all kidding aside, he's really funny as a comedic actor. Really, really funny. And holds his own against Will Ferrell in this movie.
He's good in The Other Guys.
He is good in The Other Guys.
Great in The Other Guys.
He plays that Mark Wahlberg Boston character sometimes. In this, I really feel like he's expanded it a little bit more to being like, he has like a sense of earnest. And then, of course, at the end of this, we bring back John Cena, which is great. So John Cena's
fantastic.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, on the patented Nick Scarpino scale.
Is it better than, like, raise your hands if you think it's better than Daddy's Home 1. I haven't seen it, but
Daddy's Home in review.
I saw some of Daddy's Home.
The official ranking of the Daddy's Home franchise is number one, Daddy's Home 2. Number two,
Daddy's Home 1. Wow. Wow.
There it is.
What an upset.
There it is. All kidding aside, not a good movie.
Okay.
But I but I enjoyed the shit out of it.
I'm glad we got
because
it there.
It's just dumb comedy. So if you're looking for a movie to watch this holiday season with your parents, and they do the thing that all parents do, where halfway through the movie, not even halfway through, 5 minutes into the movie, they start a conversation with themselves, and then your mom gets up and does dishes, and then your dad's like, I gotta go to the garage, and then comes back and asks you what's going on, and then they keep talking to you, and you can't really focus on anything really of any substance, this is the movie for you.
Got it.
Because you don't really have to worry about it.
It's just there.
Some funny moments, some great slapstick. Overall, where does it fit in my three-tiered structure? Is it a great movie? Is it a bad movie that's good? Or is it a bad movie that should be thrown out and called something terrible?
It's a bad movie that's good.
Right in the middle.
Okay,
right in the
got middle. It. Got
bad
it.
Movie that's good.
Got it.
Bad movie that's good.
Actually, I like that scale a lot.
That's my scale. That's
the
Scarpino
somebody,
scale.
Somebody broke out the moment where we described our show, which could be compared to Daddy's Home 2, as televised recess.
Mm.
And I love that tagline. I think that's a really, really good tagline.
Televised recess? Yeah. I love that.
So what was, because Mark Wahlberg was also bad in Boogie Nights, which I just recently saw.
No, he's not bad. Actually, he's phenomenal.
His character's weird.
Yeah, but his character's weird.
Hello, it's a big cock! I want to start shooting now! Like, what is that?
But the brilliance of Boogie Nights is that they're all caricatures. They're all, like, it's a very surreal movie. And he played that character, I think, perfectly, actually. That's one of the roles that I look back and I'm like, you actually do have acting chops, but then you started doing like kind of cookie cutter Transformer movies.
He's just such
I love him in that movie.
He was just like really positive all the time.
Because he was like dumb.
Yeah.
Like he played a dumb kid with a big dick.
I guess you're right.
And Heather Graham's character is perfect too, because she's just like dumb and drugged out the whole time. Don Cheadle's
kid movie,
every
man.
That fucking movie is so
steps
good.
Steps on that dude's fucking face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that was a harsh scene.
You disrespect me. So the problem I have with that, Kevin, I wanted his face to be mangled.
I'm glad it wasn't, because then he'd be dead.
It looked like he just got punched in the nose.
Yeah, she only hit him like twice.
So we were talking about the Call of Duty movie earlier, and that reminded me of this about movies that get written and don't get made. And Guillermo del Toro recently put out some tweets regarding movies that he has written that just over the last 10 years that I've just done nothing with, right? So he said, I have developed, fully written or co-written, that have gone unproduced so far. These are screenplays that he's fully written or co-written. The Witches, Justice League Dark, Beauty and the Beast, At the Mountains of Madness, Fantastic Voyage, The Count of Monte Cristo, Mephisto's Bridge, Pacific Rim 2, and he put very different in quotes. Secret Project was untitled, Superstitious, Nightmare Alley, Haunted Mansion, The Hulk Pilot, The Buried Giant, The Coffin Druid, and then he said also The Wind in the Willows. And he said, to be clear, these screenplays are written, done. Each of them took months or years of my life, meetings, synopsis, beat sheets, and were all written 90 to 130 pages each. These are not maybes or wishlist items. They are done, and they will just never, like, ever be seen. It's like, man, this motherfucker's worked a lot, dude.
That's how it always is, though, man. Like, you hear people all the time who, like, we have friends who are writers, right? And they're like, they've been like, hey, we've written things that you like. That's every book I've read about screenwriters. Every time I hear any stories, it's you develop a ton of material and you pitch it, and sometimes it gets bought and never produced. Sometimes it gets bought and changed so radically that you don't even want to put your name on it. And sometimes it just goes nowhere.
Yeah,
and that's just the way
it's crazy.
It goes. It's crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah.
That's why when I hit a crossroads in my life, where Steven Spielberg came and sat next to me and said, Nick, you've got to make a choice, okay? You're a phenomenal creative artist. You're a phenomenal writer. The stories that you write are so perfectly structured, and the character dynamics and the arcs are so beautiful that they just jump off the page. But you're also really good on the Kind of Funny morning show. Right. So maybe, like, what do you want to be?
Either way,
do you want to sit in a room for the rest of your life and make amazing, transformative art? Or do you want to write screenplays?
Well, I mean, Nick, I don't know if you all know this. I mean, well, the audience definitely doesn't know this, but the Kind of Funny animated show characters were in Ready Player One, just in
they
the
were.
Background. They were fighting in the background.
It's true.
Yeah,
I did. I developed that character, the DeLorean.
You're not understanding what he's saying.
I don't. What is he saying?
He's saying that our characters that you created
were in the cartoon,
in the background,
they were featured in the background of Ready Player One.
Yeah, I don't understand the joke.
You know, everything's in Ready Player One.
Yeah, everything.
Steven Spielberg. We were talking about Steven Spielberg.
Oh, you think Steven Spielberg stole from me? Do I have a case to sue his ass?
Can
I get some fucking money from this?
God damn.
Can I be an American right now and just sue?
I can't tell it'd be serious.
I don't know.
I don't know where the joke is. I've lost the narrative thing.
I've been waiting all episode to do that.
Oh, God, I love that. I love that
It worked out perfectly, guys. guys.
Next up on the news. Kevin, you were excited about this.
Yes.
You were a big fan. Oh, wait, I opened the wrong fucking story. Hold on. Hold on. Andy Vamp. Andy Vamp.
I'm a
Andy
big
Vamp.
Fan of Kingsman.
This,
and,
well, you know what, Kevin?
Yep.
Today's your day. Take out your tummy. Let's play some bongos because over on Collider.com, they have an exclusive. The Kingsman is getting a sequel and a prequel.
Okay, cool, cool.
Wait.
So this
why?
Is a rumor right now at this point.
Well,
what do you mean, why?
Is dope.
But why does it need a prequel?
It doesn't need it. It's gonna it get it.
I heard fun. Part two wasn't very good.
It was
though.
Not good.
It
was not good.
Two major mistakes and ignoring some deaths.
Sitting right here.
Okay.
In the middle.
It was a bad movie that was good.
Oh, got it.
Right there.
Oh, got it. I was so confused.
I apologize. I wasn't
I
flipping
thought
you
were
off.
Just being like, hey, man. Fuck you, freaking
no, fuck your opinion.
No. It had some. You're right. It was a fun movie, but it definitely had some issues. Yeah, and I think those issues were entirely related to the fact that they were like, we're gonna make Channing Tatum's character a really big deal, and then he like pulled out of the movie halfway through, and they were like, shit. I think I remember reading that where his character and Pedro Pascal's character were gonna be like the sidekicks, and I think that all got fucked up.
Oh, that's really upsetting.
And. Yeah, they just didn't do enough with the characters there. It was very weird.
Yeah.
And then they had Elton John in it way too much.
Like, really?
Way too much.
My biggest problem is they didn't let us mourn for the characters that died in it.
Yeah, Colin Firth shouldn't have come back.
Oh, well, no, they shouldn't have blown that in the trailers.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
There's no reason that we should have known that there. It would have been a great reveal if they'd been like, here he is, instead of every fucking trailer had him in it.
It's just so hard because the first Kingsman was...
So much fun.
Really a delight.
It was a blast to watch.
It was a delight. I was like, oh, I'm going to, Sean Finnegan was like, dude, you got to watch Kingsman. And I'm like, I don't know about this, man. It looks kind of like a generic, like, Bourne Bond movie kind of ripoff. And he's like, no, you got to watch it. What's amazing to it is it's yet another example of how important casting is in films. Because Colin Firth and Taron Egerton had such a good dynamic.
Such good chemistry.
And Taron Egerton, I think he's a fucking, is a superstar.
That's the kid.
Yeah,
he's great.
You know, he wasn't a grown-ass man, but...
Well, whatever, he was the kid.
He was the young, he was Eggsy.
Handsome as all hell, man.
Eggsy. I think he's still... I stand by the fact that, were it my decision, he would have been Han Solo, and the Solo movie would have been fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
But nobody listens to me, because...
Frankly,
I'm insane.
You're falling out.
Which is very smart.
Well, this story reads, even though we haven't heard much about concrete news about the new Matthew Von Helm Kingsman movie, that doesn't mean it's not being worked on. In fact, thanks to some very reliable sources, I've got a lot of updates, says the writer who's Stephen Frosty Weintraub, says, news to share with everyone on the next two Kingsman movie. The big news he is hearing is the next Kingsman movie, which is a film set many years before the events of the first film, will start filming in January in London.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see more of like the old guard.
But that's not
they like wiped everyone out in the first one.
Well, wait, what did I just read? There's a lot of the big news I'm hearing is the Kingsman movie, the next Kingsman, right? While details are very sparse in the prequel story, I'm hearing about it's about Kingsman as a tailor shop, and it's Vaughn trying to do a quote period drama in contrast to the spy thriller aspects of the first two Kingsman movie. It's described as showing a history of the world through the eyes of the Kingsman. In addition, he's hearing that the one line that points to what the Kingsman prequel is about is, quote, the man who would be Kingsman. So it looks like they're trying to do more... I don't know if this is going to be a spy-ish thriller.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
It sounds more dramatic. It's going to be a spy thriller. Don't worry about it.
It's still going to have that sort
it's
of quirky
have a spy
comedy
thriller.
And stuff.
It better, guys.
Nobody gives a shit about this movie. They're like, let's check this from a serious standpoint. Let's show some cool gadgets, cool suits... This is what Bond probably should be, but it's not anymore.
No. I put up another news story on the doc, Kev.
You want to read it, Doggy Dog?
Yeah, sure. Let's go for it. At the very, very bottom.
Okay, hold on.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. You kept seeing that in a new episode of Party Mode that hasn't been released yet, and there are so many songs being sung that they're all just stuck in my head because I'm
sorry.
Having to edit all those parts.
I'm sorry.
Nick, really quick, you're not excited then for these movies?
Oh, I'm excited. I mean, the thing about Golden Circle just kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, sure. But it didn't ward me off in the series. But I've watched the first Kingsman like 3 or 4 times. It's a fucking great movie.
I love it. I'm going to put the spoiler bros so we can talk a little bit more about this. I'm just going to put them up. Just real quick, I want to say, like, I have a feeling, I would be shocked if Roxy, his like best friend that dies in the second one,
yeah,
like she just gets a missile to her house, the whole fucking thing explodes.
That's weird.
Doesn't come back.
She'll come back.
That was a quick spoilers warning right there.
Whatever.
Whatever. People have seen it.
They have time.
Let's put it this way.
At this point,
Kingsman 2, if you haven't seen it, you don't care about it.
Yeah.
And nothing we're saying here is going to be, don't give me the spoilers thing. If you haven't seen the movie, the movie's been on fucking Netflix for like 8 months.
Okay.
No excuses.
Sure.
They're like assholes. Excuses are like assholes. Sometimes you need to be turned over and have someone pipe a little more poop into you.
And then do a little...
Boopy boopy. Like a little piping. The piping is very good. That's my Paul Hollywood. Mary.
That's John Lennon.
But he sounds like John Lennon. He's called John Lennon.
He doesn't.
Mary.
Really.
It's rubbish.
All right, cool.
It didn't work. Rubbish.
Next story.
What did you put this?
Netflix is making a live-action version of classic anime Cowboy Bebop. The internet is on fire. Some people love it. Some people, most people, are pissed off.
This is a bad idea.
Here's what I think about it. Cowboy Bebop is one of my favorite animes of all time. It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's a fucking great show.
I am not mad about this whatsoever, and I think my words were sort of echoed by what Aaron Hansen of Game Grumps fame said on his Twitter recently about it. He said, this is his quote in tweet, "Oh no, a Cowboy Bebop live action show, I can't stand those, or the renewed interest they spur in a franchise leading off into new merchandise, remastered releases of the old show, and an opportunity to once again discuss something that was awesome as if it were new again." That's how I feel about it. I'm not mad that they're making a show. Will it probably be bad? There's a good chance it'll be bad, right? Anime to live action rarely works. I think the only thing that'll help this is that it's not some fantastic sort of like Dragon Ball Z anime. Mm-hmm. That it's more of a it's like fucking Firefly. It's a space outlaw show about bounty hunters. I think there's a really good chance it could be cool. Netflix describes Cowboy Bebop as a jazz-inspired, a genre-bending, a Spike Spiegel, blah, blah, blah. Down below on the article, they say, the live-action adaptation was first reported to be in the works last year. Showrunners include Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol co-writers Andre Namek and Josh Applebaum, along with Venom and Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle co-writers Jeff Pinkner and Scott Rosenberg. The first episode is written by Christopher Yost, who worked on Thor Dark World and Ragnarok. Original anime director Shinichiro Watanabe is on board as a consultant. There's a pretty good chance it won't be good. I'm still excited for it. I think it'll be cool just to see sort of a space jazz rock opera in with guns and cowboys and outlaws. I think it'll be fucking cool.
It's one of those things where you look at a franchise like Cowboy Bebop, and you, as a fan of it, it's hard to have the perspective, right, of the mainstream culture who might be looking at this, and you have to sell it to them, right? But as a person who's watched a lot, I've watched, I think, all of Cowboy Bebop, because it was, yeah, I've watched a lot of Cowboy Bebop. It's been a while. But if you were to say to me, hey, do you want this to be a Netflix series, or do you want this to be, like, three major motion pictures, I'd be like, please make it a trilogy. Please make it. Give it like $100 million, like give it the go. And I know that's dumb to say because they'll never do that because it doesn't have the marketability in America. Like it doesn't have that brand recognition. But man, I'd love to see them give this a real go with like a Guardians of the Galaxy 2 style cast where you just bring in AAA actors and hit it hard with a great writer and have one director who's got a vision for all the movies and let's fucking do it.
Yeah, one big
That'd
vision
be amazing. Because inevitably what's going to happen is this going to be a Monster of the Week kind of thing? Are they just going to be, you know, is there going to be any, I don't know, we'll see. Netflix can make great series, but lately, out of all the series that I've been watching, they've been hitting maybe 70-80% as far as quality levels.
I know a lot of people were sort of disappointed because there's a Twitter account, @NX on Netflix, which is sort of their sci-fi account on Twitter where they, you know, Netflix has like a comedy account where they talk about new stand-up comedies going up. Mm-hmm. NX on Netflix is sort of their sci-fi anime whatever fantasy sort of Twitter account that alerts people. And a lot of people are like, oh, Evangelion is coming to Netflix. When are we going to get Cowboy Bebop? And then the Twitter account started saying like, oh, maybe wait soon for an announcement. So everybody thought the cartoon was coming to Netflix.
I want to rewatch it, but it's
instead it was a live action thing. So the kind of like, you know, that bait and switch didn't leave a lot of people very happy about that.
It was a series. Did they make movies too? They made a couple movies out of it, right?
What?
Cowboy Bebop?
They had one movie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, but the thing, here's the thing I liked about it most about the movie is that it did what a lot of cartoon shows made into movies did, where they just improved on the animation a lot, mm-hmm. and the whole look. You remember watching Rugrats as a kid on TV, then you saw the Rugrats movie, and I was like, holy shit, this looks great.
They put some money behind
the Power Rangers movie, too, the first Power Rangers movie, where suddenly their costumes were all awesome and shit. I love that. I love seeing that upgrade as a kid.
Yeah.
And when seeing the improved animation and overall art style, the Digimon movie is another really good example. I loved that as a kid. I don't really remember the movie a whole lot plot-wise, but I just remember being in love with it because the overall look of it was awesome.
Yeah. Forgotten Hell in the chat says, it's on Funimation now, and I think it's free with ads. Cool. Oh, it's on Hulu. Just get buckets. There you go. Gotta go back and watch that
so
now.
So is Daddy's Home 2.
Woo!
So is Daddy's Home 2,
that's
yeah.
That's where
yeah.
I watched it, Big Cat.
And on Amazon Prime.
That's where I watched it. Oh, no, I watched it on Amazon Prime.
Actually. I have the Cowboy Bebop Blu-rays also.
All right. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 11:46, which means it's time to take a little break and talk to you about our sponsors, the first of which is MeUndies. This is the year that you can finally tackle your holiday shopping early. And guess what? You can get everything you need for you and your loved ones at MeUndies. MeUndies uses that coveted micromodal fabric, which is not one, not two, but three times softer than cotton. If you've never felt this fabric, get ready to experience pure bliss in underwear form. I have felt this fabric, not on myself, but on my coworker, Greg Miller. He wears them every day, as does Tim Geddes. Tim won't let me touch him, but that's fine. That's his prerogative. Greg swears by these. Tim is now head-to-toe MeUndies, because not only does MeUndies sell the undies, they sell a whole bunch of other fun stuff, and for the holidays, they have cool holiday prints. MeUndies will be releasing new prints every Tuesday. That means you'll have no excuse not to celebrate the holidays right down to your very core. I like calling that part of my body my core, but why stop at undies? This year, MeUndies is launching their holiday prints in lounge pants and onesies as well. Both are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. Seriously, how could you not get your loved one a matching holiday-themed onesie this year? Here is the offer, ladies and gentlemen. To get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. It's a great deal.
Get on it.
Get on it. Actually, get them on you.
Oh.
Next
they
up.
They should pay you, dude.
They do. Oh. Next up, we have Quip. There's a buzzy gift on everyone's list this year. It's something that's there. Those are their words.
No, that is like the way you went about it. It sounded funny. There's a buzzy gift.
Hey, everybody, I'm reading an ad. It's something they'll use twice every day, and it was featured on Oprah's O-List, and it's perfect for everyone with a mouth, which is everyone that I know. This it gift is Quip, an electric toothbrush designed to make brushing better. I have one of these things. They ship me one. Like I tell you, I like it. I like the way it looks. I like the case. I like the taste of the toothpaste, and I like that it's got a timer in it that lets you know, hey, you're not quite done brushing your teeth yet, sir.
Do your job.
We've got you.
Yeah.
See, when I brush my teeth, I put a little bit of the toothpaste on there, and I put them out, and then I get bored. I throw it away.
Throw away the whole toothbrush?
No, I just put it down, and I was like, what? You don't want to clean up after yourself? With Quip, they got a 2-minute timer that reminds you, it pulses every 30 seconds to tell you to change sides of your mouth in the grid, and it's fantastic. Quip has sensitive sonic vibrations that are gentle enough on your sensitive gums and a built-in timer with guided pulses to remind you when to switch sides. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. It is the gift that keeps refreshing, with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. But guess what? That's not it. You can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure that whoever you're gifting it to is never using old, worn out, or ineffective Brussels. Big problem in my house. Ineffective Brussels. Bristles. What did I say, Brussels? Brussels. Muscles from Brussels, like Van Damme.
Van Damme.
Wouldn't that be amazing if you could ship Van Damme to people's houses? Come on, brush your teeth.
He would tell you, he would time it for you.
I time it for you, like, look at my watch.
You're not 30 yet, yeah.
I gotta really work on my Van Damme impression.
Yeah, terrible. Horrible. It sounds like Christopher Walken.
No offense, Nick.
None taken, man. It came out of my mouth and I was like, it sounds kind of like a drunken Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get Quip. Quip looks like a big ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/KFMS right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. But you don't have to tell your giftee that. That's your refill pack free at getquip.com/KFMS. That's getquip.com/KFMS. Lastly, we have Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options and cryptos all commission free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. This is a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It has a simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy to digest way. Kevin, you've used the Robinhood.
I have indeed.
You like it?
I do. It's really easy to use, and there it is.
Beautiful.
I could also, I was able to transfer money from my bank account into the Robinhood app, or Robinhood, and in less than like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
From getting the app, which using other companies can take up to 3 days.
Don't like that. Don't like that at all. Here's another advantage of using Robinhood. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Everyone likes profits, myself included. Robinhood's web platform also lets you view stock collections like the 100 most popular or sectors like entertainment and social media, and curate categories like female CEOs and analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. Learn how to invest as you build a portfolio with this great deal that they have right now. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Here's what you do. Sign up at morningshow.robinhood.com. That's morningshow.robinhood.com. Today's winner of the giveaway wins Castlevania Requiem. Congratulations to Rogue X U in the chat. I don't know how to say that word.
Let me see it.
Right there, right there. What is that?
Rogzu.
Rogzu in the chat. You have won.
Yeah.
Castlevania Requiem on PS4. Remember, if you want to support the show, you can be in the chat. You can be a Twitch subscriber, or you can subscribe to us at the $2 above level on either of our patrons, and you get entered to win, just like Rogzu's today. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go quickly back into tips, and then we'll round this show out. DJ Kento says, shout out to Mark Wahlberg and Peter Berg movies. Patriot Day and Deep Water Horizon are both brilliant films based on real stories. Patriot Day has the best realistic shoot out I've seen since Heat. They made them within months of each other. I haven't seen either of those. Downey Downerson says, Nick, you have changed my life. Every day I watch The Great British Baking Show and I pull both my twig and berries out over the waistband when I pee. You have drastically improved my life. Thank you. It's important. It's important.
That's horrible, man.
Why is that horrible?
Why is he pulling his twig and berries out of his tiny peas?
Yeah. Because people made a mistake. They just pulled the twig out, and then it cuts off the flow a little bit. If you pull the berries out also, it's a natural elastic pant holder. Mm-hmm. It just holds it down and keeps the flow perfectly even.
Sure.
I find that like causes issue.
Also trips people out if they're going to look over the little divide.
See all of it.
Just be like this.
They just see all of it. Yeah.
Even flow. Lots of red eyes, butterflies. Also,
we don't have time for all sorts of sports, but Kawhi Leonard, lots of drama around him.
You're doing it.
Kawhi Leonard.
You're just doing all sorts of sports.
He just signed a deal with New Balance.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard, who could have had a deal with Nike, but his uncle is just in his head, controlling his life, Nick. He's the reason that he didn't re-sign with the Spurs. His stupid uncle is over there in his head telling him, no, you deserve better. So he costs him a bunch of money. He goes to Toronto, he leaves the Spurs, right? And then Nike is like, hey, here's your deal, Kawhi, here's your deal. And he says, no. My uncle's telling me this isn't enough money, right? Uncle's telling me this isn't enough money. Loses a bunch of money, goes and signs with New Balance.
Who in the
NBA uses New Balance?
How do you know
he's Spurs suck! Cowboys suck! Fuck Taco Deli!
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, that is your Kinda Funny Morning Show. Thank you so much for joining us today, Andy. Thank you for that very passionate and emboldened speech. Fuck Kawhi's uncle, is that what?
Nobody uses New Balance! God!
The word of the day, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching this show on YouTube, is New Balance. Spell that however the hell you want. Extra points for people who spell it with a U and an E. Why not? I love you all very much. If you're not watching this show live, you're watching this on YouTube, let us know what you thought of any of the stories. Let us know what you think they can do with a Call of Duty movie, because I don't think they can do much with it. Prove me wrong. Until tomorrow, I love you all. Kevin, please cut the feed.